sunsets belong to this world. So in verse 6, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. But we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body than at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim, our goal, to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day that you have made. We rejoice. We're glad in it. Thank you, Lord, that you called us to come with confidence to your throne of grace, that we may receive the grace and the mercy that we stand in need of. We cast our cares upon you because you care for us. And we seek your grace and your mercy to sustain us with the challenges of life, with a confident faith in knowing that you are at work in us and through us, that you are causing all things around us to work together for the good and for your glory. Bless your people as we proclaim your word, anoint it, that it may enlighten, illuminate, and encourage the hearts of those here today. We pray that you will let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer, speak, Lord. Your people are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Facing life hurts through the lens of faith. Facing life hurdles, challenges through the lens of faith. Now the first principle we covered last Sunday on walking by faith, not by sight, is number one. Walking by faith, not by sight, means you put your confidence in God's goodness. That God has at all times a good end, a pleasant end, an end that will be for His glory and for the benefit of His people. So it doesn't matter what the circumstance, the challenge, or the trial may be. God's end, what He has in mind, is to take that which is evil and use it for good. That's believing in God's goodness even when it hurts. Believing in God's goodness even when we struggle. We understand if we put our faith in God, we put our trust in God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Our trust in the Lord with all your heart, not partially or some of your heart, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. And if we do that and don't lean to our understanding, but acknowledge Him in all of our ways, He will direct our paths. Notice that He said paths with an S. There's a lot of paths He's going to lead us down and He will direct us to. So, that first principle is walking by faith means we put confidence in God's goodness. That God is good no matter how bad it is. No matter how bad it looks. No matter how bad you feel. God is still good. And to respond to a God like that takes faith in God. And that faith comes from God. It's by grace through faith that we've been saved. It's not of works that we should boast. It is, well, a gift of God, lest any one of us should brag or boast. So the second principle we're going to discuss today is walking by faith, not by sight, means you're confident. God, you're confident God is in control. That's where your confidence is, in His goodness, and in His control. Not many people may think that seems like a contradiction because the world is out of control. You know, have you been watching TV lately? Have you seen what's going on in Israel with Hamas and Palestinians and Israel, the nation? Is this out of control? We done forgot about the war that's going on in Ukraine. It's out of control. And you look at your own sphere of influence and you go, man, things are out of control in my life. Things around me, things in my friend's life, my family's life, acquaintances, it seems to be out of control. But we walk by faith in God, not by sight. We see the temporal world in light So when we look at life that way, we know that everything we go through here is working for our benefit. So in faith, we can trust in His goodness, and we can trust that God is in control. And so the Bible is pervasive, prolific, if you will, with the teachings that God's sovereign control is complete. It's not partial. It governs every aspect of nature, every aspect of history, national life, your personal life. Nothing, absolutely nothing, beloved, is outside of God's sovereign control. Even the evil that you commit, God's still in control of it. The evil that the devil perpetrates in the world, God is still in control of it. The devil can only go so far, and God will pull him back. You can go only so far, and he'll pull you back. God is in control of his universe. He's not some absentee landlord who created this world and then walked out on the world for we in the world to take care of. No, God is still actively engaged in the lives of his people. So now, the way he controls all things make different. Whether it's more or less direct or more or less indirect control, more or less by active intrusion, or more or less by tactical permission. You know, the book of Job, it was a meeting that God had with the angels of God. And at that meeting, Lucifer, the angel, showed up. And God proposed to his fallen angel, Lucifer, when he asked him a question for every day. He said, I've been throughout the earth, back and forth, seeking whom I can devour. And God proposed, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, you know what? Yeah, I know something about him now. That's the one you're protecting. You got a hedge of protection around him. Because he's not serving you just to be serving you. He's serving you for all the goodies, all the benefits. If you take away all the goodies out of his life, take away all the benefits out of his life, then he'll curse you to your face. God made a tactical move and said, touch everything around him and his sphere of influence, but don't touch his soul. And Job proved after that trial that God is in control, that God is faithful, and that God has sovereign rule even over demonic activity. Listen, beloved, Archie Sproul says, if there is one single molecule in this universe running around loose, totally free of God's sovereignty, then we have no guarantee that a single promise of God will ever be fulfilled. If one single molecule was on its own, doing what it wants to do, without the sovereignty of God, we're in trouble. See, God is in control, and his control is complete, and it's pervasive. Nothing in the universe is random or without divine design and purpose. You have to believe that. You have to trust that the God of the Bible, the Creator, the Eternal One, the Self-Existent One, is in complete control of everything. Even before Adam and Eve messed up, he already had a plan. He had a purpose in the fall. And the purpose of the fall was redemption through Christ. You have to believe that God. So that's what Job had to learn in those 42 chapters of warfare with God. How many of us have war with God right now? Over the decisions we're making, the attitudes we have, the behavior we express, the lack of faith that we are holding on to. And then Job concluded in Job 42, verse 2, I know that you can do all things, and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. God is the Lord, the ruler of human history. And he's the ruler of your personal history. And your personal history can be jacked up, tore up from the floor. But he's still Lord over it. And every member of his is still in his care. I know that because Ephesians 1:11 tells me that. It says, in him, Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the what? The purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Not my will, not my desires, but his will. He's working it out. God's sovereignty can be a very religious and ambiguous term that's often thrown around by us Christians, but I'll never define what it is. So what do we mean by this? That God is in control. Because in your personal life, you see things that are out of control. In the lives of your friends, you see things that are out of control. But what do we mean when we say God is in control? And this is one way we could define it. God's sovereignty is the perfect exercise of his power, wisdom, and goodness in all things and at all times. God's sovereignty is this, the perfect exercise of his power, wisdom, and goodness in all things and for all time. Sovereignty is God's absolute right to do all things according to his own pleasure. Whatever he pleases, he does. In Psalm 103, verse 19, it says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. That hasn't changed. In Psalms 115, verse 3, it says, our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. That hasn't changed. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man or a woman, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He churns it wherever he wants. That word king, throwing off president, prime minister, your boss, how about you? Your heart is like a stream in the hand of God. He can churn it wherever he wants. So our duty in scripture is not to understand the sovereignty of God. It is to trust the sovereignty of God. Because the sovereignty of God is not a prescription. It's a description of God. So every verse in the Bible that's prescriptive is about God's revealed will. Thou shalt not, or you should do this, or don't do that, or let your speech be like this. See, all these exhortations and commandments are prescriptions that we're called to follow. But description is he's telling us something about an event, a circumstance, or about the character of God himself. When it comes to sovereignty, we don't, there's no command to obey the sovereignty. When it comes to sovereignty, we're called to trust God. So our duty is found in the revealed will of God in Scripture. That's all in the whole Bible, 66 books. But our trust must be in the sovereign will of God. As he works in the ordinary circumstances of our daily living, for our good and for his glory. So God's sovereign will is what God, by his limitless power and knowledge, has eternally ordained and determined to happen from beginning to end in all of his creation and for all of his glory. It has nothing to do with our plans. It has nothing to do with our good intentions. It has nothing to do with what we're trying to accomplish in this world, the time that God has given us on this world. See, our approach to God's sovereignty, beloved, is not to try God. It's not to understand God. It's to what? Trust God. Trust God with all your heart. Lean on him. Throw your whole weight on him. When things in life makes no sense. You don't understand. You can't figure it out. What do? You trust God. Trust God with the pain that you can't eliminate just by praying. You can't eliminate just by reading scripture. just by coming to Bible study or worship on Sunday. But to trust God no matter how you feel, and you still worship God, and you still study the Word, and you still attend church, and you still come to Bible study, and you still fast, and you still pray, and you still love, and you still forgive, no matter what. Because you're trusting Him. You're not trusting yourself. It's not to figure out God, but in faith to know that God is working it out. He's working out love. Romans 11:33 says this: all the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. So it's deep. It's so deep we can't get to it. It's so high we can't reach up to it. It's so wide we can't get our arms around it. Because it's deep. But Paul says all the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of how unsearchable, you can search what you want, you'll never find. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. I know we said all the time, see, if I was blind, I would do this. If I was blind, see, that's why you're not God. God doesn't sit around saying, because I'm God, I'm going to do this. That's what humans do. God just knows what he does. And he knows what pleases his will and honors him. Matt Chandler states, trying to figure out God is like trying to catch a fish in the Pacific Ocean with dental floss. It's next to impossible. So a faith response to the sovereignty of God is submission to his divine working in the unseen world, in the unseen realms. You know, we live in a realm in which we can see, but there's a realm around us that we can't see, and it's a spiritual realm. There is a realm of thrones, dominions, powers, and wickedness in high places, but we can't see them. But they're still real, right? And the realm we can see is what we see, the physical, the natural. Beloved, we live between two realms. And we need faith to navigate through it all. The Christian life is a tightrope. Because we have to live in a world that we can see. And then walk in a world we can't see. And trust God for the results. William Booth said this: the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. That's how you have to approach God. Submission. You have to bow the heart, the head, and the knee to God. Because if you don't, you think you're more knowledgeable than God, you're wiser than God, you're more compassionate than God, you care more than God, and you would do things differently than God is doing in the universe. Oh, who wants to tell God he's wrong and you can fix it? Faith does not do that. The flesh knows, but faith says, God, I can't figure it out, but I know you're working it out. And you're working it out for the good and for your glory. So how do we approach God when it comes to sovereignty? Point A. Submit to God's sovereignty by this. By remembering God created you. And you're under his rule. God created us. And we're under God's rule. We were created to reflect God's image. That image was marred because of sin in the garden. God sent a Redeemer, Jesus, to restore his image within man. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation, restored image. All things have passed away. All things become new. So we've been recreated by God through faith in Jesus Christ to restore image so that we can reflect God in this world. To do so accurately, we must be focused on God and not our abilities. If we turn to anyone or anything else, that will be what we magnify to the watching world. So if I turn to my intellect, then that's what I'm going to give to the world. My abilities, and that's where I'm going to get to the world. I'm going to turn all that I do into an idol to be worshipped. Or I'm going That's what we do inadvertently when we don't trust God completely. We turn ourselves into little GOPs. We're going to figure it out. We're going to work it out. We're going to fix that man, fix that woman, fix that nation, fix that world. No, we can't. We can't even fix ourselves. So we submit to the sovereignty of God in humble submission. And we accept to do it as we can't do for ourselves. And then to help us to live in a way that pleases Him, which we cannot do apart from Him. In God's Bible, you know, you can never live to please God without God working. Tell us somebody. It will be our desires they seek, and not the God who fulfills them. As the Son of God, Jesus Christ had every right to focus on His call as God. He had every right. But instead, He looked to the Father in humble submission. And by doing so, showed us how to pray. In Luke 22, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22, 42, He said, Father, if you are willing. Now this is God, this is how I'm talking to God, Father. He's in His incarnate state. He became a man. And He says, Father, if you are willing, take the cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. God's will is His word. And knowing the divine wisdom of His knowledge, which is His word, reveals who He is and what He demands from us. And the greatest demand that God has on us is for us to trust Him, to have confidence in Him, to put our faith in Him so that He can walk in us. You see, beloved, no matter what we have been taught, abandoning our will to God is not an option for those who seek to be an overcomer in this world. We have to overcome the flesh, the world, and the devil. And that flesh is in us. So in essence, we have to overcome the old person that we used to be. We can't do that apart from Him and submission to Him. But in accepting circumstances in your life that you do not wish to receive is an act of worship. Whatever He allows you, God, I don't like it, but I accept it. It's in Your sovereign plan. I don't understand Your plan, but I trust You. And I know You have the best interest for me and for Your glory. So I accept it. That's an act of worship that demonstrates true faith in the goodness of a God who works all things together on our behalf for His glory. When we refuse what our Father has offered and demand another favorable option, we unknowingly set our feet in opposition to the good He intends for us. So, what does it mean that Jesus was saying, not my will be yours? This is what it really means. Is that Jesus prioritized what God wants. Do you do that? You can prioritize each day. God, what do you want out of me today? I begin praying. An earnest prayer. Fervent prayer. I mean prayer on your face prayer. God, what do you demand out of me? What is the priority of your life for that day? And is it to give God what He wants, or to give from God what He wants? God has purpose even when we don't understand. And it is much better than the plans that we could form in our own hearts. But in order to experience that, we have to be willing to want what God wants. I think many of us get up in the morning saying, this is what I want from God. You write that down on my prayer list. This is what I want God to do for me. You write that down on my prayer list. And our prayer becomes a list of a better plan, a better way, better insight, and a better life for you. That has nothing to do with the glory of God. So, how does faith approach the sovereignty of God? submission to prayer. And through the meditation of his word, it's seeking his face, seeking his approval. Instead of me trying to get him to approve of what I'm asking. B. Submit to God's sovereignty by this. Trust thee. God already knows what you need. He knows what you need. He knows what you need better than you know what you need. I know you feel like you need something. And you say, I feel this and I know I need this because of the way I feel. But it's really what you need. But it's really what you want. We need to help. We don't need to help God along the path of discernment for our individual life. We need to seek discernment for God, for what God has already planned for our lives. And then order our steps according to his word. You know what I'm saying? We need to trust that God already knows what we need. So we don't go to prayer with information for God, insight for God. We go to prayer trusting heart in God. And pouring out our heart in God to prayer, asking God, not my will, but let your will be done. I don't understand this. It's hurting, it's confusing, it's perplexing. But you are in control over my existence. So I need your strength and power. I need your wisdom and insight to live the life you have ordained for me. But I have to not only remember that God created me and all of his will, but I trust you and know that he already knows what I need. Jesus taught his disciples to act in simple trust, not religious formulas, in which we insert him into our equation to get our answer over his will. What do you want more in the Christian life? Your will? No. His will or your answer? I guarantee you most Christians, I want my answer. But my answer is more important than his will. Because he's all powerful and all present. He's eternal, infinite, true. He knows all the stuff. So I want my answer. Most of us, when I say his will, I say, I want my answer. And this is the struggle when you're walking in flesh and not by faith. Beloved, Matthew 6, 7, 8, Jesus said, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. You don't have to go to God sounding like a thesaurus or Webster's dictionary or Shakespearean actor. You go to God simply say what's on your mind and he will hear you. When I want to talk to Jesus, I will start on a very simple because he knows my thoughts each day. I don't have to worry about special prayers or phrases because he knows, he cares, and he hears. When I want to talk to Jesus, I very simply do it for people's needs. God is beautiful. Listen, he says in verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then he says, pray. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom. That's his sovereign. And his righteousness and all these things that you need will be given to you. See, this verse reminds us that our needs will be given to us by the God who meets needs. God never asks us to worry about our needs. He asks us to trust him with our needs. But we're so good at worrying about needs, stressing out over our needs, obsessing over what we want. But to simply put him first and then seek his sovereign golden reign over our lives, and he will provide and meet our needs on time. See, this truth of trusting a sovereign God, the Apostle Paul communicates to the church at Philippi. In Philippians 4:19, he says, and my God will what? Supply every riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You can't trust in a sovereign God and worry about how he was a minority. You can't trust and worry at the same time. You either worry or rejoice. You can't do both at the same time. But that's just a lack of faith in God, a lack of trust in God. St. Corey Temple says, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. So worries. It depletes you, saps you of your strength, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. To walk on one thing. Philippians 4:6 says, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, trusting God means we want his will over our answer. Well, that almost hurt to say. Because we have minimized prayer down to an answer and not to. Lastly, submit. See, this is how you walk on faith. This is how you trust God's sovereignty. You submit to God's sovereignty by believing God's ways are always higher than your ways. I love what R.C. Sproul says here. He said, most Christians salute the sovereignty of God. Oh, yes, God is sovereign. But believe in the sovereignty of man. Natural. We believe in our own power over God's omnipotence. We believe in our own wisdom, our own education over God's infiniteness. This is the Lord's declaration in Isaiah 55, verse 9. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We may not always understand the why. And that's what we struggle with. We fight with. Why? It saps you of your spiritual strength. It's not in a realm of unbelief. You're in a realm of doubt. You've walked out of the realm of faith and trust. Why? It's not the response of the sovereign God. What God are you trying to teach me? What God do you want me to learn from this situation? What God are you showing me about yourself? What are you revealing that I need to know? What God? Not my God. So we must trust, beloved, in the sovereign God. And we must trust in his timing to make good on his promises. He's not going to do what you want done. Right? He's not going to do it because of what you're doing. Well, guys, you see what I'm doing. See how studious. See how I'm prayerful. You see how gifted. You see how loving. You see how being sacrificed. That's not the reason why God does what he does for us. Because of what we do for him. If that's it, beloved, we just got a transactional relationship. If I can prove to God that I can do what God tells me to do, then God's going to do what I want him to do. That relationship doesn't work. But that's an infinite, finite relationship. That's a creator-creature relationship that won't work. It may work with human beings making transactions. Instead, if you don't hold your side of the bargain up, I'm going to have to sue you and get all that you have and what I need out of you. Transactionally speaking. But the creator-creature relationship is not like that. It's God, whatever your grace and mercy deems for me, that's what I'm going to have. Whatever your sovereign purpose and plan is for me to experience, that's what I want to experience. And I got to trust that. I got to trust that God is better than me. Because we always understand if I was God, well, what would you do if you were God? And it's all about your ability to make things better than what God has allowed you to. Transgressed you or progressed you. That's what you're saying. Saying God is just not like you. I don't know what to say, but that's what you're saying. With your lifestyle, with your choices, with your behavior, I think I can do better than this. If you just give me a chance, I can prove to God I can make a better decision than you. Well, that's been happening since the fall, right? When he was deceived and Adam rebelled with his eyes wide open, man had been doing that to God since the fall. God, I can make a better world, a better human being, a better environment, a better life, a better hope, a better happiness. We've been running around trying to be better. And don't realize we're running towards destruction. Because our wisdom deceives us. Man, it seems right in a man's mind. But the end of what seems is destruction. We must trust in his time to make good on the promises already fulfilled in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:20, he says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen ascends to God for his what? Glory. It's always not about the answer. It's about submission to God. As we bow patiently, we develop faith that lies up in agreement with his will and his ways and his word for his glory. That's strange to the modern American Christian because everything about God is for our good glory. And it's not for his glory. It's for our success. And not for the success of his name. It's to speak much about us. Not to speak much about him. It's not about his supremacy and preeminence. It's about ours. Finding true rest in God's sovereign nature comes when we fully understand there is no boundary to his reach. His sovereign authority extends to all creation, and that includes your personal service. Your personal battle, your personal war, your personal conflict, as well as the outcome of the future. Walking by faith, not by sight, means submitting to the sovereignty of God by remembering we are under his rule. He's not alone. By trusting God alone. So in faith, I can pray very simply, God, thank you for knowing what I need, because I really don't know. I think I know, but I really don't, because you know. Your know is absolute, my know is partial. But I just thank you that you know, and I just pray that you would just bless me with what you know I need in this time. So I do that. I already know. I trust by knowing that you already know what I need. And I also believe God's ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And his thoughts are better than my thoughts. He knows the way that I should. And he will lead me in that depth. And I will be blessed because I trust him. Not because what I've done for him, what I'm doing for him. Great things God has done, is doing, and will do for his redeemed people. Call the church. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus, our resurrected Redeemer, ruler, and reigning King. We give ourselves away to you completely this morning. Holy Spirit, we give you full reign over our wills, our minds, and our emotions. Lord Jesus, it is our desire